amazing, awesomely gifted, anointed Mr. Chris Thompson. Yeah. Great man of God, great friend.
Thank you very much for that introduction. Thank you very much. Can you please offer the creative team a heartfelt round of applause for the execution of their talents? Give me a second. I'll get myself into my usual position. Let's just stay standing and I'll pray. And then you can show your next door neighbour how you turn your phone on silent. It's an exciting gift. Heavenly Father. Lord, 2015 offered some incredible, incredible challenges to some people. But we're still standing. For some of us here, it was business acumen that potentially could have sunk us. But we're still standing. For some of us, it was incredible health scares that are still going on to this day. But Lord, we're still standing. Why? Because in spite of our circumstances, we looked at the rock of our salvation that our feet was planted on. That for some of us, 2015 was an exciting year. There were weddings, there would have been some births, there possibly would have been some very God-honored deaths as well. But we're still standing. We thank you for 2015, Lord, and what it revealed to us about you. As we prepare our hearts and our minds and our challenges and our talents for 2016, Lord, we thank you. Thank you that we yearn to see your face in the land of the living. That we can worship you in good times, bad times, indifferent times. It is in spite of our circumstances, we look at the rock that we stood on in 2015. Father, we ask that in 2016, you give us a new revelation of that which we put our feet on. We're not standing on shifting sands. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you unstop our ears and our hearts, open our eyes to understand your word today and for every day that we open your Bible in 2016. Holy Spirit, surround your sanctuary this morning. Satan has no place here. Father, I pray that you unlock understanding because Satan cannot take what we clearly understand. Father, I pray for challenge, renewed strength, and a renewed understanding of who you are. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Sit down, everybody. Give me a second. Oh, hey? I know, it's a bit of a giveaway when I don't often wear. Well, I got in trouble last time for wearing short pants. But I did. That was actually a bit of a private challenge I had going on with a friend of mine who's here today, actually. But it's always a good sign when the two important women in my life think that I look good because I don't often look good at all. Yeah, thanks, Luke. Thanks very much. But that's okay. I can handle that. You do, don't you? Hey? I know. We're all victims of our better halves. All right. Today, I do have a very strong word for you. It's something I've been battling with the last couple of months. And I have been concerned about how I would bring this up. But I had a word for you all last year, which was the word focus. But I have a new word for you for the beginning of 2016. I'm not deliberately looking down. I'm just making sure my ordained Bible doesn't turn off halfway through the service. Where is my notes gone? Stay with me, everybody. Stay with me. All right, it's been an interesting challenge. I'm going to read four scriptures to you. You don't need to turn to them. We'll be a bit all over the place today as we normally are, but I have four scriptures. God, for some people, God doesn't have to repeat himself. For some people, God does have to repeat himself, but with me, God needs to stutter. He has to say it over and over and over again before I get clarity of what he's on about. So I have four scriptures. Two of them represent the same thing, and the other two represent the same thing from a different point of view. So I'm just going to read Mark 7:6, hypocrites, Isaiah prophesied correctly about you when he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They worship me in vain, teaching as doctrines the commands of men. Now we're going to go to, because I haven't put it down here, Matthew 15:8. It's the same event in a different book. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. We'll start at verse 7. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. He wasn't talking to non-believers. He was talking to the perceived believers of the era, the scribes and Pharisees, those people who had the privilege of being educated enough to be able to read God's word. The reason why the scribes existed is because not many people were able to read and write in those days. So you would go to them to draw up a contract, not dissimilar to what we do today when we go to a solicitor. But Jesus is talking to the privileged ones who could read and decipher God's word, and he's calling them hypocrites. Stay with me. There is a balance to God's equation. Matthew 17:19. Then the disciples approached Jesus privately and said, why couldn't we drive it out, referring to a demon? "Because of your little faith," he told them. "For I assure you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will tell this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting." That's referring to the demon. Scripture number 4. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And Jesus responded, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed," the Lord said, "you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." Now, these are 4 verses that I've been wrestling with only up until very recently, trying to understand where God was going when he was accusing me of being a hypocrite. But far be it from me to argue with the good Lord. But in the context of what's being presented to us, the common theme in all those 4 verses is a reference to faith and a reference to a relationship. But I'm not going to talk about the relationship. I'm going to talk about the context, the commonality of faith from Jesus' point of view, not from man's point of view. Jesus was referring not to a volume of faith, and I'm trying to remove the understanding that we need to have large amounts of faith, just like very similar to what I spoke about last time. It's not large amounts of faith God is seeking for us. Bear with me. It's a quality of faith, I'm sorry. The disciples wanted more faith. Jesus said, you have faith the size of a mustard seed. You can do incredible things. So it's not the size of your faith, but the quality of the faith. And that stems from the relationship you have with God, the quality of the relationship you have with God. The Pharisees thought they were in tight with God, that they were the go-to men. And Jesus is calling them hypocrites because they had such a poor and ineffective relationship with God. He turns to the disciples and said, don't try to blanket what faith is. Turn your faith into a quality relationship with me. Does that make sense so far? So do you have any guesses as to what the word is God gave me for 2016 for Bay City Church? Come on. I know the answer. Last year it was focus. This year, as I take my pen out, Bay City needs to improve its quality. Its quality in its relationship with God. Now, I'm not throwing accusations. I'm not here to knock Bay City down. I think we have an incredible ministry. But as Mona actually very simply prophesied, that God is calling us into more. And you only get more when you improve the quality, not the quantity. The Pharisees did everything to ensure they were in type with God. They did a lot of things. Their volume and their reflection with God was huge. They were there every day for prayers. They gave a lot. They did everything externally, but their hearts, the quality of the relationship was not there. Is that clear? So quality. Quality is no accident. Don't worry about the handwriting. Quality is no accident. It is the result. Now write this down. I like this one. It is the result of intelligent effort. Intelligent effort. It is focused. It is enduring. A quality relationship with God takes effort. And this is the next big one. Quality comes at a cost. Quality is not cheap. Has anyone bought a cheap product, a cheap item in the past? It falls apart. You buy an object that does the same thing, but a better quality, it lasts a lot longer. So I'm not talking about changing what we already know to be true, but increasing and building and enhancing on what we already have. Does that make sense? Improving the quality and being specific and focused with where that quality falls. Abraham, I'm going to give you some examples here. Abraham has been honored as the father of faith. And he demonstrated a quality of faith when he was willing to offer his son as a sacrifice. Is that correct? However, twice he lied to two kings about his relationship with his wife because he feared for his own life. Does that show the character of a man of great faith? I'm not here to assassinate his character. I'm here to highlight that faith is not a blanket statement. Faith occurs and is enhanced in specific areas of our lives. He had great faith that God would possibly raise his son from the dead, yet he couldn't trust God to protect him on the journey through there. Does that make sense so far? He couldn't trust God that he would in fact have this son, so he went and had a child with Hagar. He lacked faith there. My point is that we need to have mustard seed-sized faith in all areas of our life. But God must test all areas of our life to prove to you who he is in those areas. Is that correct? A man came to Jesus, Roman centurion he was, had nothing to do with the Jewish people other than offer them suppression and keep them in line. He said, "Jesus, my servant lies ill. And I know you can heal him." Jesus says, "Yeah, I'll come and I'll heal your servant." And the centurion says, "You're not worthy to walk in my house. You have but to speak the words and he will be healed. I have men under me, when I say go, they go. I have men above me, when they tell me to go, I go. You, I've seen and I've heard that you can tell infirmity to disappear." I'm sort of elaborating more on the conversation to impact the point. What was Jesus' response to him before he healed his servant? He said, "Never have I seen such faith in all of Israel." Here's a man who was not of the Jewish community. Here's a man who was part of the oppressive regime. And I don't know how this centurion had heard of Jesus, but what he knew of Jesus was, this is a man who can heal my servant. Now, had Jesus, and I'm taking a bit of liberty, had Jesus had then said to the centurion, "Sell all your goods, give them to the poor and come and follow me," there might have been a bit of conflict there. But this centurion had specific faith, quality faith in that one area that Jesus acknowledged. Do you see what I'm trying to get at here? Don't go quiet on me. There was a lady who came to Jesus and said, "Please cast out the demon from my daughter." She was a Greek. She had nothing to do with the Roman people, the Jewish people once again. She was a Gentile for all intent and purposes. And Jesus says, "Well, don't take the food away from the children and throw it to the dogs." Now, there is context in what Jesus was saying, but I won't get into that just yet. And she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs get to eat the crumbs off the floor." And Jesus turned to her and said, "Because you have said that, because you've acknowledged who I am and the power that I carry, your daughter is healed." She had specific and qualified faith. In 2012, I decided to test the power of prayer. I know it seems not that long ago. But I picked someone in my life who I'm acquainted with. And every day, I won't say for a whole year, because I think it was about February I picked up on this, on throwing this towards God. Every day for 10 months of the year, I prayed for this one person. It was only a two-minute prayer every day just to see this person come in relationship with Jesus. halfway through that year, I had to go out west to work. So I didn't see him for a good 6 months. I still prayed every day. In December of 2012, he came over to my place and we were just working away and we were just chatting. And I said, and I knew at the time he was single, and I said, "So, you seeing anyone now?" He goes, "Oh, yes, there's this girl I've been sort of dating." I said, "Oh, that's interesting." He goes, "Yeah, yeah, she attends Hillsong. I've been going to Hillsong." I said, "What? You've been going to Hillsong for how long?" "A couple of months now." You have been attending church, unbeknownst to me, without my permission, I felt like saying. "You've not been coming to my church." He said, "Yeah, yeah, I have been. I actually really enjoy it. I've been going to the small groups." And so I said, so I actually told him. I said, "You've got no idea what you've just done to me. You've dead set leveled me." I said, "I've been praying for you." And he turned to me and said, "It was only last Sunday that a woman came up to me at church and said, someone's been praying for you." Now, that sealed for me the power of prayer. There are other areas that I show a lack of quality in my faith. And it takes intelligent effort, and it's no accident, to improve the quality of your faith with God. But it will always come at a cost. Another word that we tend to understand a lot better is quality will take sacrifice. Put your hand up if you believe Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, the Son of God, who died and rose again. That is a qualified and specific faith. How much did it cost you to get your salvation? Come on, speak to me. Nothing. That's right. That's right. Was it a cost-free event? Because quality cost God his own son. That you've just made a claim. The three biggest religions in the world all claim Jesus as their own. One of them says he didn't die on the cross. One of them says he died on the cross but didn't get back up again. And the other one says he died and rose again 3 days later, claiming to be the Son of God. So you need to quantify and be very specific on which Christ we're talking about here. Do you see the path I'm going? Jesus is looking for quality faith, mustard seed size faith, that when you pray, you believe in what you're praying that God can do it. I just was mucking around with God saying, "Let's see what happens if I do this." And God said, "Oh, well, you want to toy with me? I'll show you what I can do." Quality is no accident. It takes intelligent effort and it takes sacrifice. Rumor has it we have some intelligent people in this church. Ah, that's good. Well said. There are three areas that we need to We have three areas that we need to improve our quality. One is love. Love for God, love for ourselves, and love for our neighbor. I know it seems like a very generic and general statement to make, but 2015 has gone down as the year that we obsessed with our identity. Time magazine said that in December last year. If we have an identity crisis, it behooves the church to be in the front of trying to address that issue. We cannot effectively love God if we don't love ourselves properly in a balanced form. We cannot effectively impact our neighbors if we have an imbalanced view of how we love ourselves. God sent his son to die for you. If that's not enough to approve your existence because God approves it, you want something more than what God can offer, and you're on your own. You have been ordained by God to be one of his children. In that knowledge, learn to love yourself. I'm not talking about being egotistical. I'm not talking about being arrogant. I'm saying have some respect for yourself. Honor the God that died for you. And in that knowledge, love the people next to you. Weep for them. For some of them are never going to come to know Jesus Christ. Yearn that they should get the same relationship that you have with Jesus. Is that clear? You need to love yourself to the point where people look at what you've got and say, how can you be so calm and cool and relaxed in this time of crisis? You need to be reflecting a relationship worth having. Otherwise, you offer the world nothing else than what they'll go and get somewhere else, whether it be at the bottom of a bottle or up a needle. Are you with me? You need to reflect a quality relationship with God to the point where you're envied. That's what the Bible says, to be envied, to to be the envy of the world. So people look at you and think, how come you're so blessed and highly favored? And you can say, well, I'll tell you, it's not anything that I've done. You with me? Next place, work and service. Don't worry, the handwriting. I'm not going to apologize for the handwriting anymore. Writing on a whiteboard is tough enough. Being left-handed and writing on a whiteboard is next to impossible. All right, because you end up smearing everything. We, as a community of Christian believers, need to improve the quality of our relationship with God in our workplaces. Who are our neighbors? Every single person we come across in our life. That's who our neighbor is. How we give our times, our time, talent, and abilities to God, what we do with it. And it's important to note, work and service, they are both unto the Lord. So whether you're serving in Bay City, you're in service to the Lord where you work. Everywhere you go, you're in full-time ministry. Is that clear? Not just the people who walk around or work for the church. You are in full-time ministry. Some of us have the privilege of earning a lot more money than what most preachers do. We cannot take that for granted. Your talents and abilities can be honed and sharpened in private. A guitarist can sit at home and practice, just like Joshua doesn't do time and time again. But your gifting and your talents can be honed in the dark, quiet places. Your character will only ever be tested and revealed in the context of other people. In service, at work, in the context of other people getting on your goat, so to speak, annoying you, working with them, that's how your character is honed and sharpened. And an increased quality of love for yourself, a love for God, a love for neighbors, makes work and service so much more enjoyable. Am I making sense? Is there any questions so far? No questions. Does that mean you don't understand? You do. Your character will only ever be tested and revealed in the context of service and work. You need to have a quality relationship with God in order for your character to stand up in the context of a social environment. How you respond. Rejecting laziness. 2016, we have to get rid of this idea of laziness and excuses. Stop making excuses for why you haven't done things. It's a demonic oppression. If you are an able-bodied person and you're able to work but you refuse to, the Bible in the New Testament says if a man does not work, he should not eat. So while some of you may be feeding someone who seems to be poor, he's actually just lazy. That's the Bible. The Bible is very clear on that. Paul writes that very clearly. If you are able, I'm not talking about people who are unable to work. I'm talking about able-bodied people willfully doing nothing. There is a dangerous culture occurring in this country, and it's very much related to the Eastern or the Western culture. Extended adolescence. People growing old but not growing up. Edwin Lewis Cole said, growing old is, you've got no choice in that, but growing up, you do. Extended adolescence is affecting this community, this city. There are aspects of it, even in Bay City. There, I've said it. It is time for us to grow up. Take responsibility for our actions. Stop wanting others to take accountability for what we are old enough to do for ourselves. Okay? 2016 has to be that. There are ways of working through that. I'm not here condemning anybody. I'm here to not pat you on the back and say, there. I'm here to say, listen, we've all got to carry our cross. Start sacrificing, putting intelligent effort in to the quality of the relationship with God. Otherwise, you are offering Jesus lip service and you're on your own with him then. I can't help you there. Is that clear? That's the context Jesus is talking about in those four scriptures. Extended adolescence is killing this generation, my generation. And we'll see what happens in the next few years. And the last point I will make about where we need to improve our quality, and I'll just write it over here. Ideology. I'll just read it to you. Ideology / beliefs. They're the same thing. The reason why I write ideology and beliefs is actually a statement I made at the beginning, is to say I'm not trying to change what we believe. I want to improve the quality of what we believe and the application of it in our lives. And making our faith very specific in areas of our life, letting God reveal himself. For those of you who need healing, he will reveal himself as the healer. For those of you who need finances, he's the provider. And he's got a million and one names. And we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Raising the standard of how we carry ourselves if we're going to call ourselves Christians. Addressing things in our lives that will hold us back. Moses brought the children of Israel through the Red Sea. The imagery that's given there is a woman's water breaking, giving birth to a new nation. At Mount Sinai was the teaching period, the law period, the adolescent period. The reason why we have Deuteronomy is because they failed to learn the first time. Deuteronomy exists because the Sinai children went round and round in circles, and God had to give the law again. Checkmate. It's a private joke. It's all right. But we cannot get stuck on a cyclic lifestyle where we do the same things over and over again. 2015, you should take time to reflect on it and look at where you can improve and make changes and say, I never want to go through that again. But if you don't do anything about that, you are destined to repeat the error again at a greater level. If pornography is an issue for you today, adultery will be an issue for you when you finally get married, if you're not married. If you have a minor drinking problem now, when you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, you'll have a chronic alcohol problem much later on in life. It will be cyclic. Read the book of Judges. You see the cyclic happenings of sin in your life. And you get stuck, and you go round and round and round and round again. You'll come up the front. You'll get prayer. But you will do nothing about believing what the Bible says about you. The Bible says that he that's born of God can overcome the world. You have it within you. It's not in your strength, it's in the Lord's strength that lives in you, but you need to improve the quality of your relationship with him in order to break some of these sins in your life. It's taken you a lifetime to create these bad habits. It's going to take you a little bit longer to break them, to make these habits, sorry. It's going to take you an equal length of time to improve and break them off. But the rewards are incredible. You have an intimate, qualified and quality relationship with God. I'm sure some of us are sitting here who do have issues with pornography, who do have issues with addictions, who do have issues with alcohol, who do have issues with abuse, who do have issues with lying and gossiping. We need to stop that if we're going to open these doors to the world. Otherwise, we offer the world no different to what goes on out there. I'm not talking about being arrogant. I'm talking about being open and honest with ourselves and God. Exposing the sin that's in our life one another. The Bible says if you confess your sins to one another, God is good and faithful to forgive. I'm not talking about dragging everyone up here and confessing publicly. These are private matters that can get addressed. But you cannot do it on your own. You were never intent to battle these things on your own. That's why Christ died, so you had him to overcome the world. Is that clear? Until we break this cycle of adolescence, we will never lay claim to the promised land of God, the promises of God. His salvation is free for us. His promises are conditional. His salvation costs us nothing. It cost him everything. But the promises are conditional. You need to pull yourself together. Walk holy because the Lord is holy. Not walk perfect. I'm talking about sin that is habitual, consistent in your life, that does lead the Holy Spirit to convict you. If you are sinning repetitively and there is no sense of conviction, I dare say you're offering Jesus lip service. When sin, and I know exactly where people come from because I've battled certain things myself, and you feel guilty and you feel disgusting and you stop loving yourself, therefore you start to hate others or you envy others and you have such a poor impression of God. You need to break these things off. Need to work through these things so that you can have a qualified, quality relationship with God. Not walk perfect, but walk better. Walk different to what the world will tell you to do. There's a TV show. I haven't seen it yet. I've only seen the trailers for it. It's called Transparent. I don't know if anyone's heard of it. Talk about an identity crisis. It's TRANS-parent, as in parent. Correct. It's the concept of a father of a family who now becomes a woman. And they call this person mama, papa, or something like that. This is mainstream media now, not understanding what to do with this issue of transgender identity. What's his name or her name? One woman of the year last year. A man, one woman of the year last year. This is the society we're in. Yeah, I can't remember if it was a Time Magazine award or something, but something along those lines. And one of the 9/11 survivors' husbands, widowed, his wife won an award. He sent it back because she passed away, and she won an award back, obviously, in 2001. When Jenna won that award, he sent the award back saying, it means nothing to me now. All this guy did was get a sex change, and he's winning awards. This is the society we need to raise our standard above. Okay? Otherwise, we offer nothing to the people, and we give Jesus lip service. Raising the quality and the standard by which we will live. It takes effort, it takes cost, it takes sacrifice. I'm not telling you you need to read your Bible for 10 hours a day. I'm telling some of you to turn your television off for 10 minutes and pick up your Bible. Reading your Bible gives God access to you. The number of factors that will affect your quality of relationship with God. Number one is ineffective or inconsistent Bible reading. This is God's only connection with us, His Word. Paper's falling out. We spoke about that a few months ago. This is God's only connection with His creation. Well, I can pray. You wouldn't know who to pray to or how to pray if you didn't have His Word. I can worship. You wouldn't know what sort of worshipers God is looking for if it wasn't for His Word. You only know about Jesus Christ because of what? His Word. We have a large abundance of historical data. Don't get me wrong. I do not remove the evidence of Jesus Christ's existence and pin it only in the Bible. There is an abundance of evidence of Jesus Christ. There is next to no historians who refute Jesus' existence. Even ancient historians who are atheists will credit Jesus as being a real man who lived. It's just amazing that they can still... Anyway, not here to criticize them. Confessing means you confide in someone to help ease the burden, but more importantly, shine light in dark places. Today is the day to make that change, to confess, to get around, to start improving the quality of your relationship with God. Inconsistent Bible reading. As we study and read and practice the Word of God in our lives, it gives God access to our minds, hearts, and influences. Sin is another thing that destroys the quality. So one is inconsistent Bible reading. You don't need to be perfect before you come to the Lord, but you need to know what you've got to do to get right with God and allow God to work in you to correct your character. Sin, the willful and habitual sin that you keep hidden, sin that brings forth the guilt and regret, thus lowering your love for yourself. That's two. And number three, I mean, there's many factors that affect the quality. I just wanted to pick three for the purpose of today's exercise. Ignorance to unresolved issues, or willful ignorance to unresolved issues. Jeremiah said that you cannot heal a wound by saying it's not there. The priests and prophets claim peace when all is war. Do not ignore an issue you have with your brother or your sister. You cannot come to the communion table until peace is made. The Bible says that if your brother has a problem with you, go and make peace. That means to say if you're unaware of a problem, that's fine. But do not sit in this church holding a grudge. Go and work these things out one-on-one and see the work of the Lord within the brothers. We will be known for our love for one another. That's what the Bible says. I'm not refuting putting boundaries up. I'm not saying that if your brother sins against you 70 times, that you can finally say no to your brother so you don't have to keep forgiving him over and over again. Jesus was very wise in that statement. But you cannot walk around with unforgiveness in your heart and expect to have a quality relationship with God. Is that clear? Is that clear? Any questions so far? Good. We'll get the band up now. It's 25 past. Come on, Dave. Come and tinkle on the ivories. I haven't written a great deal up there. There's a lot that I could write, but I won't. How specific and how deep is the quality of our God? Justice, mercy, love, and forgiveness. Justice, mercy, love, and forgiveness have only ever appeared at the same time in one place, in one historical event. Justice, mercy, love, and forgiveness have only ever appeared at the same time, at the same place, once in history. And that was the cross of Calvary. We can forgive our brothers, we can have mercy on others, but for us, it's a day-by-day event. We do not culminate all four of those events at the same time. Only once has it ever happened. That's specific. That's a quality God who bridged an impossible gap for us to reach Him. He addressed a specific need, and you all raised your hands earlier today that you believe in that specific need, that you have a resolved faith, faith the size of a mustard seed. If I ask each and every one of you where you're going to go, for those of you who do believe, you'll say, I'm going to heaven. And you say that without hesitating or fretting. That's mustard seed faith. If I asked you how you're going to pay your bills next week, you might go, oh, I really don't know. That's not mustard seed faith. But God needs to reveal Himself. You need to hold on through those tough times so God can be known as Jehovah Jireh, my provider. That one event that occurred on Calvary allowed me to become something I was not made by creation. I was made man in creation. I was made a son of God through salvation. That is specific. That is quality. That's the quality of our God. He's the God. His character is revealed through His word and revealed in His people. El Shaddai, Lord Almighty. El Elohim, the Most High God. Adonai, Lord and Master. Yahweh, Lord Jehovah. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Jehovah Raha, the Lord